Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, he was a D-League coach. He is the classic. He worked in the minor league system for years. There was no free lunch for Nick Nurse. My people that I trust around the NBA say that on a game-to-game basis, Toronto does the best job of not only in-game coaching but preparation of anybody. It is remarkable that you can lose a player like Kawhi Leonard, who is, in my opinion, maybe outside of LeBron, the best get-a-stop, get-a-bucket player in the league last 2 years, and they're better with COVID, with the bubble. It's really unbelievable what's happening here. And Nick Nurse is joining us from his room in Orlando. He is not. He just told me he's not gone on any of the rides, which is I've taken my kids to Disney more times than I can count. So let's start with this. I was telling Joy this the other day. NBA travels hard. I mean, especially in Toronto. It's turbulence. It's cold weather. You get out the van at 2 in the morning. You get to the hotel. A lot of guys struggle to sleep. There's none of that. The intensity, the quality of play. Nick, I'm blown away by it. Are you surprised at the quality overall of the play?
Well, I think I had an idea that maybe without the travel and a lot less distractions. I mean, I'll give you an example. I just go to practice. I don't even have to get in traffic in Toronto for 20 minutes and go to practice. I walk down 5 minutes and I'm in the practice gym's in my hotel here. It's like the amount of wear and tear you're saving on everything you're doing is good. I think I'm a little surprised it's maybe kicked in this early. I was thinking it'd maybe be till the playoffs, but man, you're exactly right. The games are great. It's been really fun to watch and be a part of.
So you have the advantage. Your young players, Pascal Siakam, Van Vliet, are very mature players. You also have a smart veteran roster. And I would make the argument that you got the perfect bubble team. You don't have the anxiety of the young kid, you know. I look at you and I think what explains Kawhi leaving and you succeeding is you may have the most mature team in the league. How does that affect the way you coach them?
Well, I think there's some really special guys there, Colin. Really is, you know, like Kyle Lowry doesn't get nearly enough credit for how good he is, like defensively and how smart he is. Fred Van Vliet plays way beyond his years. Gasol is as good as there is at that position, in my opinion. Siakam's an emerging star. Ananobi's an emerging young player. And when Ibaka gets blocking shots and making shots too, he becomes a special guy on the floor. And heck, I haven't even mentioned Norman Powell and our rookie Terrence Davis. You know, there's some special guys there.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You guys have given LeBron James a total handful. And LeBron says, he goes, you media guys don't get it. Everybody in the league gets Toronto. So he averages like 20 a game against you guys. Now, there is no such thing as a LeBron stopper, but you make life more difficult for him. Is there any little page that you're like, listen, try to do this against LeBron, because whatever you're doing is working?
Well, I would say this. He's certainly, as you know, he's as hard to prepare for as anybody. I mean, he has really seen it all. He knows how to read. And I always say he not only makes the right decision all the time, he throws those fastballs at about 110 miles an hour right to the shooting pocket. So it doesn't give you much chance to recover to a lot of that stuff. So I don't know if we've done all that great on coming up with schemes to stop him, because he can beat most schemes.
Yeah. You guys put a body on him a lot. That's one of the things you do. I watched the other night. You had 10 passes before you scored a basket. And listen, these are the world's best basketball players. How do you convince guys to not just make the extra pass, to make 10? There's a buy-in with your roster that is not common throughout all rosters.
Yeah, I think I remember that possession you're talking about. That's a fun one that certainly makes the highlights, you know, in the edit the next morning. I also say this, I think the Lakers came to play. I think it was a fairly intense game. And when there's a little pressure like that in the game, your guys understand they got to make the right play and they got to pass the ball if they want to play well and have a chance to beat a good team like that. So that helps too. But I don't know. It's just the way we like to play. We like to attack you. And if you draw more than one or two people, you got to try to make the next right play and then just keep doing that until you find a good shot.
So you've won despite a loss of Kawhi. What concerned you coming into the season? What did Kawhi do, Nick, that you thought, okay, we can't replace that?
Well, he certainly, like you said at the start, he can do it at both ends. He can make a game-winning defensive play just as easily as he can clear out a side and get you that must-have bucket down the stretch too, right? I think that's the big hole to fill. And, you know, it kind of got shifted to Pascal. He's handled it pretty well, and he seems to keep rising to the occasion. I mean, he's going to have to go through it in the playoffs a little bit. But the biggest thing, I think, Colin, is guys like Van Fleet and Powell and Siakam came back to campus this year, just different guys. They just seem like going through that whole playoff run, they just matured a lot. They got 2 months of high-intensity basketball in which they succeeded. They all had big games, and they just came back with a little bit more sense of who they were.
You know, it's really a remarkable story. So I was a total – I mean, I was shocked you won the title. I'd be the first to say it. Joy was all into the Raptors last year. I'm like, I don't see it. I think, who's the second guy? Yes, Joy was –
Would it go, Joy?
Yes.
Would it go, Joy?
When you won the title and you're on the flight back, was there a moment that you even said, the Toronto Raptors are NBA champs? We are NBA champs. Was there a moment, an epiphany for you that you were like, this is a dream sequence?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. You know, I mean, the flight, we actually were, you know, we were in the Bay and we actually flew to Vegas. So that was a little short. It was a little short, but the next day we went back to Toronto. Yeah, I mean, you're sitting there and everybody's, you know, the trophy's in the plane, and the total relief of just going through that whole 100-plus games is over, and you just kind of revel in kind of getting the job done. You wake up every day dreaming about getting there, and you get there. It's really something.
So Milwaukee has not been an easy matchup at times for you. Milwaukee gives Boston trouble. And then yet the other night I watched, I think it was Houston, small ball gave Milwaukee some issues late in the game. They struggled with some matchups. So when you face somebody like Giannis, are you of the theory he's going to get his, let him go? Now, last year, you really made it difficult on him. When you face a player as great, as long, as athletic as Giannis, what do you sell your team on? What if he drops 40? What do you sell your team on?
Well, really good question. I got a little testy with the media last year in games 1 and 2. Because I kept saying we're gonna pack the paint and make him kick it out, and we're gonna get out to the other guys. I was getting greedy. I wanted to stop both things. You know, I wanted to stop him and make life hard for him, and I wanted to get out and contest those threes. And I really think that's kind of what we're trying to do. You know, we're trying to do both. We're not gonna say okay, give him his 60 and hold the other guys down, or vice versa. We want to try to guard each possession that presents itself as hard as we can.
You know, Pat Riley used to always say, Nick Nurse, Raptors head coach, Pat Riley used to always say, in the NBA, you wear guys out. You got about 10 years to coach in a place, then they're tired of listening to you. They just tune you out. How do you keep fresh? Now you live with a guy. You're in a bubble next to him. They're so tired of Nick Nurse. How do you keep fresh day after day with messaging?
I try not to say much, to be honest with you. I really do. I try not to say much. I let my assistants prepare a lot of the game plans and do a lot of the presentations. I only step in when I need to. I mean, when we get a little deeper into the playoffs, et cetera, I think my voice is certainly a finite resource, and I try to try to work it that way as best I can.
Well, mine is too, although nobody's ever convinced me of it. Nick, it is great to have you here.
It served you well.
Well, everybody speaks highly of you. Good luck to the Raptors going forward. I think the NBA has done an unbelievable job with this bubble. And thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. Thanks. Always admire you and appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right, Nick Nurse. Good stuff. Yeah, it's you liked them. I was shocked last year. I was just like,
well, I like them because they are this every year. They're extremely competitive during the regular season. They're a well-run organization. He does an amazing job. And they are always in the playoffs and have the ability to make noise in the playoffs. They needed a superstar to put them over the edge.
You know, it's really interesting. How do you stay fresh? He really gave a great answer.
Yeah.
I don't talk a lot. Like, this is like a real thing.
Well, it doesn't work for our business very well. But.
Yeah, I'm screwed. But the point is, as a boss, don't go to the well very often. You can't, you know, in horse racing, if you have to whip the horse, wait to the stretch. Like, make stuff, like if you have to occasionally bark at the team. Like, I was talking to a college football coach once about this. He goes, Jimmy Johnson's known for this. About twice a year, I'm going to peel the paint off the locker room. And it may be halftime of a game we lead. But if you go to the third time of, like, undressing the players in front of other players, you can lose dudes. You get about, in an NFL season, about twice a year, you can just go nuts on the team.
I mean, I think that's a philosophy that works well in most relationships. You want to pick your battles.
Yeah.
You can't be arguing and pointing things out about every single thing that
happens.
When
I first was married to Ann, you know, I had to sometimes show her how the world works. And then I just stopped doing that.
Yeah, I bet. It applies to all forms of relationships, though. Friendships, parents to kids. Like, when your parents are telling you every single day and picking at you every single day, you just stop listening. You tune them out because you're constantly getting
direction. I was lucky that
direction.
My parents were not helicopter.
Yeah, I can't say the same. But
I did not. They always used to tell me, don't play in traffic and swallow slowly. Yeah, just to cut your meat.
My mother trusted me a lot, but I was a really good teenager.
Yeah, you didn't go out party and.
Well, I was playing sports every day. Like, so you I played four sports in high school. I didn't have time.
Was
for
Jason
that.
Difficult?
Jason, no.
All right, that's good. Yeah. My sister was a little bit of a partier.
Listen, I hit college and made up for lost time. But okay, when I was under my mother's roof, I was behaved.
Hey, Goulet, you were a nightmare, right?
Sure. Yeah. Terrible.
Did he just go back and, like, help his mom move?
I know. He's nice. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I saw no value in stressing my mom out.
I'll tell you something. I learned my first few years as a dad, I talked too much to my kids. Even my daughter at one point told Ann, Dad calls too much. So I backed off and let the kids live.
I mean, I take that approach with my nieces and nephews. Like, I give them really strong advice, but not a lot of it.
Yeah. It's hard when you have so much great wisdom.
I know, it's very difficult. But if you're constantly giving them advice, they're like, all right, whatever. Like, we don't really care about what you say. If you give them, like, one good gem a year, they might.
That's all I get? Jeez, that's a.
I mean, they're kids. They want to make their own decisions.
I know. I asked my son the other day, how's school going to be? And he goes, Dad, children do not like school. Stop asking me that. Okay, he goes, no child.
That's pretty profound, actually.
He said that 14-year-old. He goes, Dad, children do not like school. We like to play and go home and play on our computers and do stuff with friends. Nobody likes school, Dad. So he says, stop asking that.
That's true. I didn't really like school until I was an adult in college.
I didn't even like college. I liked the keggers. The toga
Keggers.
Parties. You know, when you have a keg and you open it up.
You went to toga parties?
Oh, God, in college? Hello, my nickname was Toga.
Who is this guy? So there's high expectations for the Bucks with the additions of Brady and Gronk this year. But Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan thinks the hype for Tampa is too high, and they will be chasing his team this season.
I do know we have to step up our game. We have to elevate. I mean, they've got the second greatest quarterback in all times. Right behind Drew Brees, and now we got head-to-head two times a year.
Okay.
You know, we've got our work cut out for us. And then, of course, they have in additions, you know, you bring in Gronkowski and LeSean McCoy. You already had 2,000-yard receivers and Godwin and Mike Evans. I mean, This is a team that's fighting for second place.
So he's obviously being very sarcastic throughout how that good, statement.
How great is that division? Oh my God!
I mean, it's
Matt Ryan,
be...
Breeze, Brady, Teddy Bridgewater. Holy!
You know, I don't want to talk you into this because I know how you get about the Falcons.
I know. I'm out. I'm off. SEC football, I trust. Falcons, I do not.
They nope. played you a lot.
Nope. I have lost. Nope. Not even interested.
Okay, but I mean.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, the Saints have the best odds, obviously, to win the NFC South. Buccaneers plus 130, according to Fox Bet. Falcons plus 650, and the Panthers plus 2,500. I think we both agree we're excited to see what Teddy Bridgewater does in Carolina. They're probably going to mess someone's season up, but that feels right. I don't want to get crazy about the Bucs. I'm interested. I want to see how it all works. I agree with you. They are not a rebuild. They have a lot of great pieces, and had Jameis Winston not thrown all of those interceptions and pick sixes, they'd been in a different spot.
If you put the 10 best players on paper for Tampa Bay, the first like 6 to 7 are like great football
players. See, I don't love on paper, though. Because we do on paper. It's called fantasy football. And
but I have a veteran cinching it all together, which I like. I get the argument. There are a lot of, like Baker Mayfield. Cleveland's got talent. Can Baker cinch it together? The question remains.
I think Tom Brady is going to win this divorce.
God.
The Patriots.
First year,
Brady
not
divorce.
Close.
Yeah, he's already ahead of it. So Conor McGregor announced his retirement from the UFC at the beginning of June. He's retired twice before making a comeback, so it's unclear if this one will stick. But UFC President Dana White made it clear that Conor McGregor will not fight in 2020. Dana says he doesn't believe Conor will stay in retirement, but guaranteed that he does not and will not have a fight this year.
Well, they have other people I want to watch.
Well, UFC 252 is Saturday, August 15th in Las Vegas.
Okay, who am I? Is Justin Gaethje on that one?
Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic are the heavyweight title bout on that card. So that's in 2 weeks.
When does Justin Gaethje fight again?
What's so funny?
That is the future.
He loves him.
And Habib, when's he fight?
Just obsessed with him.
Well, I think he's got an unbelievable efficient left.
Well, he fought pretty recently, so I don't think he's going to fight again for at least a little while. Right. But I think the UFC has done an amazing job during the shutdown. Obviously, Conor McGregor is a different level of star.
I thought 2 years ago he was significant to their bottom line. I don't today.
It's been a while, right? And like the last time we saw him, it wasn't great.
Hold on, time out. Alex, what? Gaethje and Habib
are fighting in October.
Boom, I'm busy that month. I'll be watching fighting.
Busy that month.
That is going to be great.
That's not too far off.
That card will be a massive buy-in.
You'll pop up in a Corona for that?
A vodka soda. Uncle Colin's going to drop a hundy on that one.
Okay. Finally, the Clippers will get an important player back today. Lou Williams has cleared his 10-day quarantine and will play against the Suns.
Hot Wings Lou?
Lemon Pepper Lou.
He got a lap dance. I read the story.
Stop.
That girl said,
"Oh my God,
I'm not anti lap dance, but he is lap dance Lou."
I think Lemon Pepper Lou is more appropriate. Doc Rivers said Williams will be on a minutes restriction that will most likely be guided by his lungs. So obviously he's been in quarantine. So. Might be a little winded when he first gets out there. The team is still missing Montrezl Harrell, and Rivers gave no timetable for his return. He is dealing with his grandmother's death, and Doc Rivers said he has he's able to take all the time he needs for that. Good piece, obviously, for the Clippers to get back. Lou Williams is a walking bucket and a very big deal to have
out there. Yes.
They're 1.5 games ahead of the Nuggets for the second seed in the West, and they play the Nuggets on August 12th in the second-to-last bubble game.
Yeah, gonna be good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Top 10 players in the bubble. I'm gonna rank them. Coming up next. It's frustrating, right? Like you're just adding a little weight here in the pandemic. You've been home. You're not moving quite as much. You're sitting home watching sports now. A little older, less energy. Not quite. Yeah, naps a little longer. You put on like 7 pounds. I get it. I feel the pain. My advice, watch what you eat and take M-Drive, the only supplement specifically for driven men. Gary, the scientist, Arizona, 2 kids in his 20s. I've met him. They were active. He used to be. He creates this, M-Drive, a supplement every morning, Lean muscle, energy, feel better. Rite Aid has it. Vitamin Shoppe has it. So does Walgreens. If you're not ready to give up, if you are still fighting, you want to look good, have energy, keep tight, don't let age beat you. Visit mdriveformen.com today.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Sports are back. I'm going to have a bar cart finished here in a couple of days. Check it out. Go to Lowe's.com. Show us your transformation with hashtag Lowe's Goals. Make your own sanctuary at home. We're all spending more time at home. NBA is back. I thought I'd say, who are the 10 best players right now in the bubble? Now, TJ Warren's scoring well. I don't consider him going forward a top 10 player in the bubble, but my 10 favorite players in the bubble, starting with number 10.
Number 10.
Chris Paul, for years, people said was the most overrated player in the league. He's now officially the most underrated player in the NBA. The Thunder were the biggest surprise in the league. He is so old school, it hurts. The mid-range angle jumper, feisty, yells at players and teammates. He is total old school. But he's one of three players to average 20 points and 7 assists in the bubble and shoot over 50% from the field. I think you can make an argument. He's a top 4, top 5 MVP candidate. You know, we always, he and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan don't win more. This was the best team in the league in the last 3 weeks. Chris Paul has had an unbelievable season, and he's back at it in the bubble.
Number 9.
Jason Tatum, I think, is going to be literally a top 10 player, top 7 player by next year. He had a lousy game in the bubble against Milwaukee. Boston does not match up well with Milwaukee. They look too small. But he scored 30-plus in 10 of his last 16 games. He also had a monster game against Portland, led them to a win. And I think he's one of the few players in the league. He can put it on the deck. He can create his own shot. He can hit a three. He can finish at the rim. He's clever. Number 9, Jason Tatum.
Number 8.
Luka Doncic. Only player averaging a triple-double in the bubble. Here's Dallas's problem. The NBA has always been a baby step league. They just don't know how to finish off games. They outplayed Houston for all but 3 minutes and lost. They don't know how to win yet. They're one of four winless teams in the bubble, and they're between Porzingis and Luka, Trey Burke. They got all sorts of offense. But this league is about figuring how, with 4 minutes left, like how we close it out. We're down 4, we're up 4. How do we close it out? They haven't figured out how to do it. But he, Luka, is remarkable.
Number 7.
Russell Westbrook. I'm a critic of him. He's not taking a lot of threes. 31 points in both bubble games. I thought he's been very good defensively. Listen, he can unravel. He can get unhinged. He's erratic. This has been great. He's played under control. He's played defense. Listen, he's not a good long-range shooter, and that's problematic because that's sort of what the league is now. But I think this has been the best Westbrook.
Number 6.
A player I've always thought's better, slightly, Damian Lillard. One of two players averaging 25 and 10. He has the most assists in the bubble, the most points in the bubble. He is Westbrook, but a dead-eye long-range shooter. If you told me there's one guy in the bubble, one shot to win, that's it. He's the guy. His range, he and Steph Curry are the only players in the league. Unlimited range. Shoot it when you get past half court. I think he is so good in crucial spots, nerves of steel. And I think he's a better player than Westbrook. I don't know if he's the athlete. He's not that far behind. But I think Damian Lillard is the go-to shooter in this bubble.
Number 5.
Anthony Davis, most free throw attempts. I mean, listen, you watched last night. You can't stop him. Now, I don't love what I see late in games. He doesn't have a lot of dog in him. Damian Lillard's got dog in him, but he scored 90 points in the bubble. That's the most by any player. He really is. If he could hit a three-point shot consistently, you can't really defend him. I mean, you can't. He's a harder guard than LeBron if he hits a three. You can't defend him. I just don't trust him late.
Number 4.
James Harden. I do trust late because he's been great in the bubble late. Second highest scoring average in the bubble. Most steals by any player in the bubble. averaging the most 17 free throw attempts per game. Here's the thing about James Harden. His style's very ball-centric. 4 months off is the best thing that happened to James Harden. He looks fresh. That's why he's playing defense. He's fresh. I mean, he's got energy. I mean, he's been very good. So James Harden is unbelievable.
Number three.
But I put Kawhi over him because I think Kawhi is, you know, first or second best defensive player in the bubble. He's the only guy, Kawhi, in the bubble averaging 25 points a game under 30 minutes. So his efficiency is scary. He's the ultimate team guy. He's got the highest plus minus in the bubble. You know, you can say what you want about load management. When he's on the floor, his intensity and his efficiency are scary, are like historically good.
Number two.
Got to give it to Giannis because he's more of an offensive threat. Most rebounds of any player in the bubble. Probably the best defensive player of any player in the bubble. 35 and 15 and 5 average in the bubble. He's just really good. And he's really developed into, there's a lot of things. Leadership, likability. I mean, listen, go ask Boston. Like, Boston can't defend him. Boston plays well against everybody in the East, not Giannis. They just don't have any answer for him. That's why Chris Middleton plays so well. They double Giannis, and Middleton goes off against the Celtics.
Number one.
LeBron, what do you want me to say? Best leader in the bubble, smartest player in the bubble, most experience in the bubble, only guy averaging 19-9, 7 assists, a steal, and a block in the bubble. And he also he controls the tempo in the bubble. You know, what he's done, what LeBron's really done, it's really smart. He really lets the game come to him in the first 2 to 3 quarters, unless he has to take over because the Lakers are a mess. He really in the first quarter and a half, really is about letting the game come to him, has a surge late in the first half, takes over the fourth quarter. That's what smart veteran players do. He remains the best player in the bubble. If you had one shot, 9 seconds left in the bubble, game seven, you'd take Damian Lillard. If I said one possession, I'd say LeBron. One stop, I'd say probably Kawhi or Giannis. And one guy to draw the foul would be James Harden. So LeBron is my number one player in the bubble. Now, there are some guys. Porzingis is close. TJ Warren has been lighting everybody up. Who else did I miss, maybe? Did I miss anybody else? I don't think so. So, now, tonight, what do I get? What do I get on TV tonight? So, tomorrow I get Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge, Yankees against the Phillies.
Tonight is Rockets-Blazers.
Oh, that's great.
You have Celtics Heat at 3:30.
Oh, okay, boom. I get two NBA games tonight.
Yes, Giannis is playing right now against the Nets. Had a little
and
incident.
Losing to the – oh, that's bad. They're shrinking.
There's 73-65 at the half. It's, I think,
ooh, that's almost out of hand. With no KD, no Kyrie, no Spencer Dinwiddie, who's playing for the Nets?
That is a great question.
Honestly, I couldn't name a starter. I couldn't
name. Their roster is decimated, yes. But it's only halftime, so I think we
should. Looks like the game's already over to me. I wouldn't even watch it. Okay. It looks like the game is totally officially over. All right, that is it for us today. Nick Nurse, Tom Penn, Chris Ballard, Colts GM, and Doug Gottlieb. All sorts of fun. Do-it-yourself projects are special. You got time. You're at home. Go to Lowe's. Show us your transformation. Hashtag Lowe's goals. I'm making a bar cart. They got all sorts of stuff. It's put together. Doesn't take very long. Guys, you got time. Go to Lowe's. Do-it-yourself projects. Done. Tomorrow, we'll see you.